Hello, Nadia Rosman. Welcome to Radio Evolve.
Hello, it's great to be here with you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, likewise. So, full disclosure, Nadia and I are very much co-conspirators in Interbeing Tea Dialogues and the work of Interbeing that we're doing at Evolve World. But we wanted to do an introductory session or program that explains what interbeing tea dialogues are and what they're for and why we're excited about them, why we find them to be an innovative and profound way for human beings to meet. So I thought we could start by just unpacking interbeing tea dialogues. Which, what, first of all, what is this interbeing that we're talking about?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, 'cause I think the interbeing itself gives the dialogues its spice and makes them different dialogues than we are usually used to. From my perception, I often experience that when we try to meet an interbeing, that there is opening up a space of wholeness. A space of wholeness that we aren't used to in our usual daily lives. And I think that's a profound door opener when people are meeting to meet in a different state and to discover new layers of our human fabric that we often aren't aware of in our daily lives.
I appreciate what you're saying about discovering different levels of the fabric of life and consciousness that's between us. Because that is, as I understand it, the point of interbeing is actually a perception of wholeness, of the living space between us. That there is something that's alive that is holding us all in its embrace that we can tune into. So that's the foundation for interbeing tea dialogues, if I get what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe it transmits even more if we co compare the interbeing space to our usual way to deal with human questions. Because I think in our contemporary culture, we are very used to using psychological approaches to heal what's going on in us human beings on a personal level. And that's also completely fine to do that. But for me, through the years we are now doing interbeing work, arose also the question, what does it really mean to approach human beings fully? And to me, psychological, at least I have this question, if we treat us individuals only on the individual level, if we don't carry there with us also parts of the fragmentation of our culture that we are living in. So psychology addresses exactly one layer of our human being, but not more. And to me, it feels entering together an interbeing space, there is much more to work with. And much more that hits us also on a deeper level and opens us. So I would say the tea dialogues introduce a more complex kind of way to approach who we are and what we are struggling with as human beings.
So if I hear you right, you're saying that in our postmodern culture, we tend to personalize all of questions, confusions, traumas that we experience as belonging to ourselves alone, that they are somehow personal problems that exist in us in kind of in isolation, which ends up being quite a source of shame and quite a source of separation, that we it's part of why we hide these things from ourselves as well as try to hide them from others. But that actually these almost everything that we engage with or face or deal with as human beings are human problems. That they're not isolated, unique to us. The circumstances, of course, are all unique. And that bears, exploring or understanding. But at a deeper level, these are all human problems.
And that's this recognition is an effect that participants of the tea dialogues often have at the end of a dialogue to see, wow, I came here in with something that I experience very deeply as my personal problem. And together with others, I can witness that that's not at all the case, but that we all are part of this cultural and human fabric that is causing particular kinds of problems. And if people go through an interbeing dialogue, there's this very opening and healing effect that they feel, wow, there's something bigger holding, carrying, and nourishing our interactions. I often experience psychology a bit as a Münchhausen thing, this guy who pulled himself out of the mud. And we are often desperately trying to work our things like this, but experience that it often doesn't work.
Yeah, because it stays within the fragmentation. That when we're looking only at the personal, only at what's happening to us from a personal perspective, we stay in the separation and fragmentation that is the foundation. Fragmented foundation of our culture that is the source of so many psychological problems and existential problems, and also larger systemic problems like climate collapse. So what's the tea part about?
Yeah, I find that very interesting. For those of you who know our Evolve magazine, you know that we dealt in the past years quite sometimes, for example, with the topic of imagination and the imaginal. And I think the T part of the T dialogue is exactly relating to that, inviting the imaginal to open the dialogue space beyond, how to say, pure meeting people. It opens for me a new horizon, bringing in a sort of ritual. For example, when we start the tea dialogues, we are all sipping tea together.
So it's really tea.
Yeah, real tea. And it might sound counterintuitive, but we are mostly doing these dialogues online. So you have to imagine maybe five or seven people on screen, everyone holding his or her teacup and sipping together. And when people are doing that, there is something happening immediately. Because you get this impression that all people at the very moment have a similar experience. And I couldn't imagine that before we started this practice. But it's really happening again and again that alone in this simple gesture, some deeper connection is happening. And of course, we can also relate the tea part of it to other tea cultures. Recently, I in a session mentioned, for example, how in Japanese tea culture they have particular tea houses and the entrance is very low. So if you want to get in, you have to go on your knees. And this is such a sweet and powerful gesture of surrender. If you enter the space going on your knees, giving yourself to the space of this tea house. And if we are doing online tea dialogues, we are doing something very similar, because we really try to align ourselves to the potential of interbeing, not wanting to get answers out of ourselves, but focusing more on that there might be also a sky that is opening for all participants. And that creates a pull, I can say into the sacred or into the mystery, there is an opening. And that comes just from having a very light-handed ritual around it.
So it's interesting. The sipping of the tea also breaks the kind of two-dimensionality of the online format, because it you're and you drink the same tea, or try to, same type of tea, so that there's a recognition that the taste that people are having is the same. So that it's amazing to me how these gestures or enactments of togetherness, wholeness, non-separation have such a powerful effect. That it's that we're, I think, because wholeness or non-separation is the deeper truth of life. Life is not separate. Nothing exists in isolation. It can't. So it's like these reminders kind of resonate in a profound way through each of us and us together.
I like the word reminders that you just used, because I think that relates also to the sorts of tea we are working with, because we are also playing around with that. For example, we used the rosemary tea, because it connects on a subtle level to the spirits. Or we also worked with Greek mountain tea that creates connection to the ancestors. And that is a very subtle intervention to bring that in. But if people relate to that, the ancestors, for example, are present too in that dialogue space. And it's really something, that's why I appreciate rituals so much, because you can sense the effect, but you don't really know how exactly is this happening. And that leaves also space for the mystery. And I don't want to make a big thing out of the mystery, but just being aware of that we, in our usual thinking, trying so much to determine things. But in tea dialogues, our inner attitude is shifting into the other direction. We are inviting a potential that we can access, but that's beyond us. And that only happens by surrendering to the mystery. So if you connect with rosemary to the spirit, it feels that there is some help in our bags.
We have support.
Yeah.
But I find, I mean, it's interesting because the source of the information that Rosemary is a connection with spirits is an a more ancient culture. That the recognition of the relationship between plants and the human or different aspects of the living world are that sensitivity. It is something that we've lost and often consider to be simply superstitious.
Yeah.
But actually it's a different way of knowing and a different way of sensing that we have actually lost.
Yeah.
And so there's always a kind of ancestor relationship or ancestral relationship in the tea dialogue, because we're inviting in this knowledge from earlier cultures. And sharing in that.
Yeah, and it's not only the knowledge, but I think in relating to that, we relate to an expression of wholeness that these cultures still had cultivated and still shared.
That some flavor, which is somewhat of a pun, but some flavor of that integrity that these cultures had, rather than acting out of separation. And it's interesting because part of what you're saying is or pointing to in the ritual is, and by speaking about the mystery, is that this is a non-instrumental relationship, meaning that it's, I mean, in our modern culture, modern and postmodern, we're always looking to see what we can get from something. What can we get from this relationship? What can we get from this or the other thing? And this invitation that you're speaking about and the surrender that you're speaking about, it's not some surrender to a belief system or a dogma or something that is being put on you. It's a surrender to a more subtle recognition of what is. And essential to that is a living wholeness that in bringing in the tea starts to have quite some dimensionality.
And we have an additional ritualistic part of the process, because we also, when we start the dialogue, we light a candle. And we will blow it out when the dialogue ends. And that's not just a formal thing, but I really like it, just lighting a candle to bring light into the space. That is one thing that creates something on a subtle level of perception. But also being aware of that the time together has a particular preciousness. You know, after an hour or 75 minutes, this candle won't burn anymore. So we set a frame that allows the dialogue phase to be held also in that. And shedding light on something is always a good thing. And the candle thing, as we are used so much to having a particular relationship to lighting candles, it also does something in our whole system to align ourselves to a different reality than that what we are usually used to. And there's also beauty in it, because I think seeing also that beauty is a huge part of how we can grow as human beings. That really does something.
It sounds like you're creating a beautiful frame for the dialogue itself, which opens your demarcating, your bounding the space of the dialogue so that it's a space that you enter, or that commences, that starts and finishes, so that there's this special moment, special time, and the tea and the candle lighting both work to bound the space and to allow it to be something that is not ordinary.
I really like that not ordinary, because I think that's exactly the point. And when we are aware of that we are entering a not ordinary space, there are also completely different impulses that are coming from us. Because I realize, for example, when we opened the space, like we expressed by now, then we go into a phase of bringing really our topics into the space to find out about what we want to dialogue. And that's also a very interesting process between the participants, because everyone is invited to offer a topic that matters.
So this is after you do the tea drinking together and light the candle.
Exactly.
Then,
When the space is ready,
okay.
then we start finding question. And the rule is that everyone who participates offers a question. I feel always that this is also very ritualistic, that we all are giving something. And we are giving topics that really matter to us. So we show ourselves in a vulnerable way, and we give ourselves really to the space with the questions that we want to bring in. And it's very interesting to observe in oneself how this happens. Because I ongoingly make the experience when I try to formulate a question that, while speaking, I already realized how parts of my original question are related to my position of separation. And that's happening because of the relationship to an interbeing space. So you can realize that you're usually so stuck in your own thinking, so self-related. And when you start to speak to an interbeing space, you realize that. And working with people in tea dialogues together, there's often this moment where one stops and starts to rethink the own question, and where the interbeing space already helps us to find the real question that we are having. So there's already some sort of transformation happening right away at the beginning of the process.
Do it seems to me that the quality of the questions would really matter. Do people, is it difficult for people to meet the opportunity of living space together and bring forward something that truly matters to them?
I think it's for some people a real stretch, and that's only because we aren't used to that kind of spaces. We are used to, oh, I have a problem, I need to find someone to talk to, and then we do our thing. And having also this time to really reflect in the presence of others. What is it that really matters to me? That is very new to us, because we don't have many cultural spaces where that is possible. And it's really interesting that people can respond to that and often are surprised while trying to really figure out the question, how it unfolds, often slightly different than they thought before. And it's really a practice to learn that also, because I often fall flat with that and then realize when the process goes on, oh, that wasn't my original question. There's something much deeper. And I realize with every new tea dialogue, one gets more tuned in into that reality. Though it's not a practice that you just attend like a one-time event and have a good feeling about that, but it can be really an ongoing training to shift your own perspective on how to deal with what matters.
And you keep mentioning problems that people have. Is that so is there advice giving? Is it only about my personal problems?
That's a really good question, because there are also very interesting insights. We usually offer, to make it easier for people to find the question, four different areas. And one is, for example, that we can talk about things that we relate to in our minds. For example, an interesting book that we read or an article. Some content that we want to deepen because it matters to us. That would be an option. Then it's about relationships. What happens in your family life or in your work life? Is there something you want to get a more clear view on it? Or something that just is occupying yourself, where you are really busy with and don't have a clue what to do with it? Or then, of course, also you can talk about an experience of interbeing practice. And we recently had a dialogue with some colleagues who also are hosting the interbeing tea dialogues and found out that we are doing this now for a bit more than a year. And we found out that mostly people still are coming with so-called personal problems. And that might also be just because it's such an opportunity to find a space where you can really move that. But that's it's not the original intention of the tea dialogues to become a space for problem solving. And I think that's also a question of how a format like that can help people to develop themselves. So by now I would say that there is a tendency that people want to bring in very personal problems, but in general, we can also talk about anything. We can talk about culture if it really matters to us. But I feel we are just moving into that direction. So that is still in a process of unfolding and cultivating. And
So
it's maybe also because people, and maybe that's also a German thing, because most of our participants by now were Germans. There we have until now the most experience with. Maybe it's also a German thing that we have a tendency to relate more to problems than to topics that could unfold. And maybe it's also a question of the time and culture we are in. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot to find problematic.
Exactly.
I'm interested. You say the phrase you use to describe these maybe these more cultural topics are what was that really matter to you. That's the essential point. That that the topic that you bring be something that you care about. That's something that has an impact in your life that you're curious about, concerned about, excited about. And then you also spoke about moving the topic. What does that mean?
On one hand, it's really trying to find a good formulation what I really mean with my topic. Because I make the experience that this is shaping while trying to express it, which is also a phenomenon. Usually you would think, okay, if you have a question, you need to have it already to bring it. But for me in Interbeing Tea Dialogues, there's often a step in between that when we are trying to formulate our question, that we realize that isn't it yet. And that has much to do with this, does it matter to me? Because if I try to explain myself on a deeper level, I can immediately sense, is that really something that matters? And so there is, while we are formulating the question, often already happening some fine-tuning. And that's interesting in itself, because I never experienced this kind of development in other processes.
So you're saying that what you meant by moving your own question was it starts to unfold and change and take shape in a different way that often captures a different level or deeper level of what you meant or what it is that is touching you or inspiring you or confusing you or that it goes to a different level of depth. And
Exactly.
then well, after you after a so a topic is eventually accepted or decided on by the group.
That's another process. So if every participant has brought his or her question to the table, then the group as a whole senses into the space and tries to find out which topics matters in that very moment most. And that's also an interesting part, because usually when we are listening to suggestions, we have an immediate personal response. Oh, I want to talk about this. Oh, yeah, I'm very interested in that. And in the tea dialogues, we make a tiny but very important distinction, because there's a difference if a topic relates only resonates only for myself, or if it resonates in the space as a whole. And people are really aware of this distinction. So all participants are then really sensing into the field. What might be the most precious question of this moment we share? And it's interesting because in most cases it's very easy to find this particular question very immediately because we have this shared sense of what really matters. And that is
The
also
group.
not excluding questions of other people. But the overall constellation, the ritual, the people, the particular space creates just a particular moment. And that there the most meaningful question really is showing itself to all people.
Great. And then a dialogue proceeds from there.
Exactly.
And are there any guidelines for the dialogue, or how does that work?
One thing we often say very explicitly, just to be sure, because we have so many personal problems, and of course, we are so trained in the culture to respond to them psychologically, giving hints, oh, you could do this or that about. And we really try to not go into that territory.
So no advice giving.
Exactly. We don't introduce it as a rule, but we make clear that it helps to not try to go into this direction. And it's really just this Being open for the space as a whole. And at the beginning, we talked about that the ritual opens the horizon or the sky. And that is also something we can hold in our presence while dialoguing, to sense where is something opening, where is something connecting in what we are saying. So it's for people who know already our interbeing work, that's more related to the investigation of the pure consciousness or in the evolved context of topics. That's just another way of being in interbeing and talking about people's issues. But it's all about trying to stay really in this open perception of interbeing. Not wanting to solve something, not expecting something, because that what the dialogue offers us as so-called solution comes always as a surprise.
And you mentioned you've mentioned a lot the effect of the interbeing space. How is the interbeing space opened? How is it that that a group of people coming together from our individuated culture with an individuated question or thing to explore, how does that turn into a space of interbeing? Is it the hosting? Is it the what is there some way, how is it that this occurs?
I think the hosting has a huge part in it, but it's on another hand also invisible if it's really good or well done. Because when we talked about the whole process of starting the tea dialogues, this is for me a pathway into interbeing, because it evokes different qualities of interbeing and opens us to that. And that's a really surprising experience. Even if people attend for the first time with the tea dialogues, an interbeing context, they get something of this openness, connectedness, wholeness, resonance that is connected to interbeing. And I think it really unfolds because we make the steps through the ritual into our dialogue space. And then, of course, the people who are hosting the dialogues also try just to keep the space open and intact.
What does
So,
that mean?
yeah, of course, we have sometimes people who are very drawn to the psychological, and we can honor that also in the shared space. But if you have the sense that there's more possible, you can bring that in. And just this attitude of there's maybe more to it, spoken out as an invitation, seems for me to activate the powerful forces of interbeing itself. It feels really hard to explain, because it's we are doing something as hosts, but it's not something instrumental. It's more trying to evoke the deeper power of interbeing, or trying in oneself relating to it and speaking from there to open this fabric of the space.
Well, interbeing becomes present to us when we become aware that there is, when the space itself becomes self-aware through us. And implicitly, that's what you're doing in the dialogue with the ritual and so forth. And the level that you're inviting people to engage with is rather than a personal psychological level, it's more reaching for the existential.
Yeah, That's well said.
Say, you want to say more about that?
No, but this phrase really hits it, that it's a relation to the existential. And that you always only can invite. You can't make it up. And that's also the reason why our tea dialogue hosts all are very experienced interbeing practitioners, because they already embody a bit of this relationship. For them, it's easier to yeah, to stay aligned to that and hold that during a session.
Why do you, Nadia, why do you think that this is an important cultural or cultural practice or spiritual practice, or I don't know, what would you call it? Why do you feel that it's particular has particular relevance now?
I think the tea dialogues open really a framework for working with wholeness. And that's the difference to many other cultural practices we are used to through modern and postmodern culture. With the example of psychology, we already touched that in our days, it doesn't work anymore to point only to the individual. But we need some bridging to the complexity of life we are in. And interbeing as a source of wholeness can hold this complexity. And you can't make a strategy out of that, but you can experience when you are moving into that space that there is something to that. And I think it's so needed having approaches like that, because we almost have no practices that really connect us with wholeness. We have, of course, meditation as a very powerful practice to connect with wholeness, but that happens in stillness and isn't the space where we can process things. And so maybe one could say the interbeing tea dialogues are a counterpart to the stillness side of spiritual practice. And because for me, tea dialogues are really a spiritual practice and a cultural practice. Spiritual because it opens us to our original human depth, which is wholeness and connectedness. And culturally, because we really create, I really have no word for that. We really create a reality of wholeness. And having been in 90 minutes of tea dialogue, you shared 90 minutes of a wholeness experience. And that, for me, is a cultural expression.
What do you mean by wholeness?
In the tea dialogues, this fragmentation that we all feel, and often even name it as fragmentation, that goes to the background. And that is something one can deeply experience. And then you realize, wow, yeah, things are coming together.
So is you're, but you're not talking about ideas coming together.
No.
What comes, what is, I mean, wholeness in its wholeness is not something that we can have or grasp, or it's an intuition of something that is extraordinarily larger than ourselves, that we're agents of, or can be agents of. And it is, it's, you could also talk about it as coming home or belonging to life, discovering one's non-separation from the deepest processes of creation. There's a whole world that opens up that is related to the human dimension of non-separation.
I could underline all those expressions you just found for this kind of experience. Because I think this is exactly what people are experiencing in tea dialogues. And the interesting or also important thing is, as it is an intuition, like you said, we can't, in a way, take these experiences with us as something we have. And at the same time, if we are doing more and more processes like this, I have the impression that parts of the experience sink deeper into us and something stays as a new capability. But that is very fragile and delicate. But and there for me the cultural part begins, that something in us is deeply changing as human beings, so that over time we will also express our being human in a different way. But that's also not like you do like you learn something. It's happening to us while being in the process. So the delicate thing is we can't make it, even if we try very hard. It's happening on a spiritual level where I can't make it. There will be days where I think so, wow, yeah, there was something. And maybe there are days where I wasn't so open to this wholeness and that didn't land so much in me. So it's us, but it's not up to us to make a particular outcome.
But it is up to us to be available, be open to, and you used the term earlier, surrender. But by that meaning, being open to a different possibility that then can take root in your being. And it naturally wants to take root. Because this extraordinarily complex and remarkable life world that we're a part of, the wholeness of that is it is what it is. And so, in some ways, we're all looking for that. Looking for that to show itself in its truth. So, is there something you're about to say?
I just realize how energized I feel from what we put together here in this dialogue, because I really feel this attraction to go on with this process and to go on. And I can sense that there is something that really wants to live and wants to get all of us and wants to help us to go on this new level of being human together.
Yes, indeed. Because it is real. And it is part of what people call the really real. And this is a wonderful way of doing that in a simple dialogue context, which is remarkable. How do if someone is curious about this process, how do they find out about it, Nadia?
We created in the context of our offers at Evolve World an interbeing monastery. And the tea dialogues are part of this monastery, The monastery is the space where we put together all our offers of spiritual practice. And
And it's online.
yeah, it's online, of course, like almost everything we are doing. And there we offer every quarter a Sunday practice of 6 hours with meditation and tea dialogues. And in the 2 months between, we offer on Sundays tea dialogues only. So if people are
That's
interested,
once a month.
yeah, once a month. So people have once a month the opportunity to be part of this adventure.
Great. So they can go to the Interbeing Monastery, which is on the nav bar of evolveworld.org,
Exactly.
evolve-world.org, and that will be below
Yeah,
the
there in the
description.
navigation you can enter the monastery. And
Yeah.
it's a real monastery, we have to say. A beautiful one.
It's a beautiful monastery, which will be, we will be officially launching that very soon. Is that right? Great. Thank you, Nadia.
Thank you, Elizabeth. It was really a pleasure.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you.